Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and I noticed that a lot of people in the church are not reading the Bible. I don't want them to wind up like the people of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, where they read only that which E.G. White wrote, and they really don't read the Bible to tell all the different places that she is preaching false doctrine that she's written. Now, I like to have my writings under real heavy scrutiny. I like people to check the Bible, and my writings are not enough to keep stabilize the soul or to fortify a soul, and so people have to read the Bible. Now, because of the fact that you're not, I've been led by the Lord to read the Bible as much as I can with you, because we even had one of the older people in the church fall away yesterday. Doug Pendleton has just returned his keys, and it's obvious that he didn't have on the full armor of God, because the full armor of God is sturdy and it's powerful, and it's impossible to fall if you have it on. And the whole armor of God happens to be the entire Word of God, and if you're not reading it, if you're just trying to rely on my messages or my tracts, that isn't enough. And there's nobody in the world that can make it into the kingdom of heaven if they are not fortified, if they don't have put on the whole armor of God. Because we're not fighting against human beings, flesh and blood, the Bible says, which means human beings. The human beings that seem to be troubling different churches, like Satan is using them, but we're dealing with the devil, the spiritual realm. That's up in heavenly places. Not in heaven, but in heavenly places. You know, we look up there, and the Germans say that's their Himmel, up in the air. That's the heavens. And it's not for God. God is everywhere, of course. But the Bible also calls Satan the prince of the air. And in order to be able to combat him, fortify yourself, you have to put on some sturdy, the whole armor of God, and something tough and strong, powerful, stronger than Satan. And so we're going to read from the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. We'll start right out at the beginning, because the beginning has to do with children obeying their parents. And I noticed that in the church, a lot of the different children, when they just fall away from the Lord. And that is obvious that the parents are not reading the Word, and they're not explaining the things to the children as I'm explaining to you. And the Bible is far better than my writings. Far better. I can't write enough tracts or bring enough messages to be able to cover the whole spectrum from Genesis to Revelation. You have to read the Word. And the Word tells us to pray without ceasing. It's obvious people are not praying at all, some of them. Now, I have no doubt that there are people in the church that are reading, and that there are people in the church that are praying. But it's obvious to me a lot of them that are not. And so let's begin with chapter 6 of Ephesians. Let's all go up to the throne of the Lord to ask the Lord to fill me with some wisdom here, and that he'll also fill you with wisdom. Fill my mouth, Father. Lord God in heaven, Lord, you're the river of life, and you're the actual source of the river. It's right from the throne. It's the a definite waterhead, the river of life, which is also Jesus, flowing from the throne of the living God into your tabernacle here on earth. And Ezekiel said, whoever the river touches lives. And I've brought this out, Father, in other messages. And that means not only life eternal, but it means life more abundantly, and that is a life without without a hindrance, falling away to the things of this world. Life more abundant. If Jesus, if you have touched us, then we are living because of you, and we're living in the river of life. We're swimming in it at all time. We must read the Word of God. And Lord, I pray that you impress that on everyone today in this message, and that by living, we get life more abundantly, which means also that we have a life without sickness, disease, infirmities, aches, and pains. So, Lord, let the river touch everyone that hears this message, and let it open up, Jesus, open up their hearts, their minds, their souls, Father God, so that they receive everything here, and that they don't only hear it, but that they do it. If they really hear it, if the Spirit is talking to them, then, Lord, let them prove that they've heard it by doing what you say for us to do. And that's to read and pray, and to pray without ceasing. And pray always. Father, we ask you this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now, we need to pray for finance. We see the devil gaining more and more momentum. There's a great falling away, and the devil has masqueraded that falling away by a fake revival. There's a revival among religions and false prophets. It looks like there's a great big revival, but it's actually a falling away from the church, falling away from Christ. And so we pray, Lord, that you will strengthen everyone with the full armor of God, that then you will, if they seek, they'll find. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's begin reading from the 6th chapter of Ephesians.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord.
Okay, now a lot of the false versions say, children, obey your parents. It leaves out in the Lord, obey your parents in the Lord. If your parents are of the Lord, if they are walking in the Spirit, you have to obey them. It's very mandatory, because it's the first of all the Ten Commandments that has the promise of a long life. And God doesn't promise you a long life if you don't listen to your parents in the Lord. Now, if your parents are not in the Lord, you're not required to listen to somebody that's telling you to do anything that is other than what the Bible tells you to do. You're not at all required. So, and then go ahead.
Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
Okay, and that goes along with also your father and mother that are people of the Lord. If you don't, God will curse you and you'll die young. It's a promise, okay? It's the one and only of the Ten Commandments that gives you a promise of long life. Okay, then what? And that eternal life and long life here on earth. Then what?
That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth.
There's the promise. Amen? Then what?
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath.
Right. Now, a lot of people are provoking their children to wrath, because they don't feel like they're loved, because a lot of parents don't read and pray or make it necessary for the children to read and pray every day. In this house, I've told the elders in this house to make sure that the children get 3 prayer meetings a day, and for everybody really to have 3 prayer meetings a day and Bible readings. And they told me that they do that. Praise the Lord. Now, everyone is required to do that in the church. And as I said before, we have an older person that's been with the church for years, and he fell away. Doug Pendleton fell away from the Lord, just walked off the street because he is not armed and armored with the Bible. Then what?
And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
In other words, the parents are supposed to, when they see their children doing that which is not of the Lord, to reprove them and rebuke them. Some parents don't even care if their children lie. They don't care if they talk down to their parents. And they don't care if their children read and pray. And some of them have fallen away. Like we have the Tyner children, just about every one of them have fallen away. So I know because of the Word of God that there's something wrong with the parents. And the parents it doesn't seem like they're really cut that that happens with their children. And that's very sad. There's something wrong there. Then what?
Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh.
Okay, so slaves, be obedient to those that are your masters that are in the flesh. That means if you're working for somebody, give them a full, honest day's work. And it's not tough. Then how much more if you have a master? In other words, if I, the head of this church, am the master of this church, because God appointed me to be the master, then you're working for me. And you're to give me an honest day's work. Because the Lord said for you to do it. All right? And the Bible says that even the people that you're working for in the flesh, that you're supposed to give them an honest day's work as though you were serving the very Lord himself. Because that's a good testimony to them. And if you don't do that, well, you're looking like a very unsaved person. Because I've worked at a lot of different places before I was a Christian, when I was a boy, before I started on my own in business, in the record industry and in the health studio, in all the different industries that I've been in. And I see people acting as though they're working when the boss comes around, but when he's not coming around, they loaf, they sit around. And it was a lot of the people's testimony here in this church that that's what they do. It's as though they're working for... Sharon said it's like she worked for Bullock's Department Store in Los Angeles. And the people over there, they just, what do? Come over here and tell them what they do. They do the same thing a lot of people that are freeloaders and users in this church, and churches all over the world do. Go ahead, tell them.
At the store, they would just do the least they had to do to get by, just keep the job. And so that meant the time that you were paid, they just did whatever they wanted to do during that time as much as they could get away with, because usually there wasn't a supervisor watching them. And so basically the store got just the bare minimum of work out of them, and they didn't care. They didn't care about the store, you know, the welfare of the business. That was not their concern.
And if that's the way some people are in the church, I know there's some hard workers in the church. And because they believe the scriptures. And then there's some that don't believe the scriptures at all. And they still maintain that because they're in the church, they're going to get into the kingdom of heaven. But they're breaking in these different commandments right here every day of their life. They could care less about their children. They could care less about giving their all unto the Lord. Because, like I know, one time when I was just a teenager, I went to work for May Company in Los Angeles. And I really believe in, I always believe that you have to earn your money. And I was waiting on customers left and right and left and right, and all of a sudden I worked there for several days just for the Christmas holidays, and this elderly man came up to me and said, how you doing, son? I says, fine. He says, I'm the general manager of the May Company. He said, how would you like to work as a permanent? He says, I know you're just Christmas help now, but how would you like to be a permanent person, and he says, I'm sure that you'll climb to the top in the May Company. And I says, well, that isn't really my idea of what I've cut out to be. He says, I notice the way that you treat customers. You're very polite, and you're kind to customers and extremely helpful to them. And there's some people that are the exact opposite as that. I'm just naturally that way, way before I was ever saved. And to me, it's so disgusting to see people that are otherwise. They let the church, the Lord's church, the body of Christ, because they're too evil to be embarrassed. And they throw souls. And so these are commandments. And people have to read the Word of God to refresh your memory that these are commandments, otherwise you're going to forget them, won't you? You know why? Because the Bible says so. He says the way of life. What is the way of life?
Reproof of instruction.
The reproof of the Word of God, the instructions of the Word of God. These are instructions. And you're to give your all to the house of God. And the Lord says, don't just do it in the house of God. But if you have an apartment house and there's people there that's asking, hundreds of people asking for different things, their water doesn't run, their toilets don't flush, you don't just ignore that. I mean, my God. And expect to make anybody believe that you're a Christian. You know, Christian, if you just let them go on and that their stoves don't work and their refrigerators are leaking and don't work, what kind of a miserable wretch would you be? And what kind of a miserable wretch would God be if he let you in heaven when you let people suffer and disobey this commandment here? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters.
Right, that's what it means. If you're working for somebody, be obedient to them. They want you to work. They want you, they're paying you $5, $10 an hour, whatever it is. And you agreed to work and give it your all because the Lord said you to. If you think that that's you're underpaid, then get another job. Amen?
Amen?
Or if you think you're underpaid in the house of God, then get out. Because I think that heaven, I know what I only think, but I know heaven is too great of a reward for you if you think otherwise. The Lord calls you chaff. Scum. Scum of the earth. Goats rather than sheep. You're a disgrace. You don't belong in a mighty church of God because you are not receiving might from the Word of God. You don't pay any attention to anything the Lord says. You're a hireling, and you're a bad one at that. Whenever I've been hired to do a job, I've always been highly commended for my labor, the things I do. And that's why the Lord can trust me, because I did that for the unsaved. And I have to put my all into serving the Lord. And it's disgusting to me if somebody doesn't even work for an unsaved person out there with all their heart and soul. And how much more disgusting do you think you are to me if you don't do that for the Lord? It's like you don't believe that he exists. Okay, and that's, to me, the most rotten person on the face of this earth. Okay, then what?
Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling.
Right, you're supposed to. Why fear and trembling? Why? Because the Lord sees everything you're doing and everything that you're not doing. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
In singleness of your heart as unto Christ.
As though you're serving Christ himself. So you know very good and well they don't do that if they're shrugging their duties in the house of God for God. They don't even do anything for God or man. And they are the kind of people that get upset if you tell them what they're doing wrong. they don't want to know. Then what?
Not with eye service as men pleasers.
Yeah, like they'd smile and say, hey, good morning. Morning. Right, Sharon, is that what they do over there at Bullock's?
Yes.
Yeah, good morning. Hi, boss. And then they whisper behind his back, thinking, well, he's underpaying me and all. I'm all show him I'm not going to do any work. We're not getting enough out of this. We're not getting bucks. We're not getting this. We're not getting enough bucks. We don't get to do this. We don't get to. One of the reasons, possibly, that a church that wasn't able to pay their bills would be in such a place is because people are not giving their all unto the Lord. God isn't going to bless a place like that. Anybody like that, because you're breaking the commandments, all right? Do you understand what breaking the commandments means? That means that you're cut off from the Lord. And cut off from blessings. Does it mean anything to you? When you get cancer or something, then you start screaming your lungs out. And then we'll see if it means anything to you. And then you'll say, Lord, can't I go back? Give me another chance. And the Lord might have just had enough of you and will tell you, no. He did that with Gary Lariston here. He and his wife were gluttons. And they spent a lot of time at home cooking and as though the food wasn't good enough in the church. I mean, we've been commended how that the church food was so good because it was mainly cooked over at the Alamo restaurant, which was highly commended about for judges and governors. And President Clinton ate there when he was governor. And all sorts of people ate there. And we served the food right from there. And yet, these people fell away from the Lord because they couldn't stand a little bit of persecution. I told them that, they're going to have their properties taken away from because they didn't want to work. They didn't believe in heaven or hell or the things that the Lord said here. And so they just didn't do anything. And then here comes the federal government up there with a bunch of marshals, and they took the property away, as I said they would, as I prophesied they would. I couldn't understand how God allowed them to even have that property for any length of time. Then a lot of them were living in cars for a while. And then the Lord opened doors for me to get the properties back again, different properties, better properties. Because a bunch of them, God shook them loose. They fell away. And some of them said, what use is it to serve the Lord? They're just going to enter to buy more property and do all this kind of stuff. They never bought the property. There wasn't one thing. As a matter of fact, this one person went and destroyed the restaurant business by hitting a person that was in the restaurant. And all the churches came to our restaurant to eat on Sundays. And it was just very busy until he smashed this. It was a drunken little skinny guy. What was his name that did that?
Gary Waller.
Yeah, Gary Waller smashed him when he wasn't looking. And nobody came to the restaurant anymore. And so there are satanic people. There was a satanic person with Jesus. There was 12 disciples, and one of them was the devil. And so there's probably a devil for every 12 people in this church. And I know, I spot them. They have no intention in serving the Lord. So anyway, people left their tools around. You don't do that to your boss, Jesus. Aren't you supposed to take care of the Lord's things?
Yes.
Well, they left them laying out in the yard, out on the field out there, and all got rusty, and then they put on the list to get another hand tool or something like that. And you don't do that. And then the Lord used me to get another church. He made you suffer in a real small church that didn't have air conditioning, heating, and air. it was like a swamp cooler in there. It was very bad because we went back to the dark ages, like when we were at Crescent Heights, even worse than then. And you think that you can mess over the Lord like that and get away with it? And not read the Bible and still maintain salvation and not pray? The Lord says, ask. If you don't ask, you don't receive. You have not because you ask not.
Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart.
Was that the will of God to throw people's souls when you're in the church?
No.
No, but yet there are some people that don't think before they talk. And they tell me what they said to a person, and I really get sick in the spirit. I mean, I just feel horrible, the things that they said. It's obvious they're not read up and they're not prayed up, because what they're saying is not from the Lord. They're just polyparroting the things that they've heard me saying. It doesn't really, the things that they were answering these people didn't apply to what I've already taught. But as I said before, that my tracts and my messages cannot compass the entire Bible. I can't. I haven't brought enough messages to of instructions for the whole Bible yet. It would take me more years to do something like that. You're commanded to study the Word yourselves and then also obey what the Word says. You pray without ceasing. If you don't, you're breaking the commandment. Do you praise the Lord without ceasing? Are you thankful? Are you giving your all every day to the Lord? Or are you just beating out and telling jokes and laughing and joking? And are you reading and doing what the Bible says? Commands? Are you keeping these commandments? Then why are the children, some of them just gone totally astray? Okay, then what?
With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men.
Right. Yeah, that isn't doing service unto men when you give them a decent day's job. That's a commandment from the Lord. Paul received that in the Spirit from the Lord and laid it down in these words. And it's a commandment. They are commandments. Now, the Lord has given back property because some people said, we're never going to do that again. And then I couldn't believe some of the deplorable things that I've seen people doing. You know, I talk a lot about usurping authority, but these commandments right here, there's hundreds of commandments. You break one, and you have no remorse. Your conscience seared, because the Lord can no longer convict your conscience of the constant breaking of commandments that you do. Some of you. I'm not saying all of you, but some of you. Unless I say again that these people wouldn't be falling away and wouldn't have to be put out of the church if they would read and pray. Then what?
Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free.
Yeah, it's like they don't believe that God is going to repay you if you do good, if you keep his commandments. It's like you just saying, I don't believe you, Lord. I don't believe anything you say. That's why I don't keep the commandments. Okay, then what?
And ye masters, do the same things unto them.
Yeah, in other words, we who are in charge, we have to do take care of your souls. I get some beautiful Christmas cards from some of the brothers and sisters and people throughout the world thanking me for taking care of their souls. I mean, I just read a real nice one from one of the brothers this morning. Well, I know that I've been taking care of people's souls to the best of my ability, and by me taking care of the souls, I say, read and pray for yourself, because I'm not giving enough messages there's so much offensive when the Apostle Paul said he was hindered to go someplace. I'm hindered from bringing messages because the devil, in some of the people in the church, the way that the devil uses them, hinders me from bringing the amount of messages that I'd like to bring. And so, being as that I'm hindered, and then the devil has somehow got it into your mind, well, if Tony's not bringing the message, we're not going to study and we're not going to pray. Well, that's your doctrine. That certainly is not the Lord's doctrine. And if you try to use that as an escape mechanism from going to hell in the lake of fire, forget about it. I tell you right now that you're commanded to read and pray, because I can't possibly, with the hindrances that I get from some of the people that are backslidden or that don't care about the Lord, and I try everything in my power to have the patience, because the Lord says to let the chaff grow up with the wheat. And I do that to the point to where it gets impossible, where everyone can see how they are chaff and how they are goats. And when they grow up, the people in the church grow up to the point to where they can see that when I put somebody out there, that's real chaff, that's really a goat, then I can put them out. But there was a brother that I've been waiting for about 17, 18 years to find out if he was right or wrong, because he'd been pretty slick. And then finally Buster came in and brought, then I knew for sure that the person was, that the brothers and sisters that had reported this man before were right, because Buster loved this brother, Tommy. And Tommy now has come to his senses, because he cannot. And Bert Kranz stated he really admired me for the patience that I had with him, with Tommy. I waited 17 years to find out. And finally, Buster came in and showed, because Buster loves Tommy. And he would never bring a false accusation against him, because they do business together. And Buster does good with Tommy, and Tommy does exceedingly well with Buster. And so Tommy, not wanting to bring false accusations against Buster, had to lay it out on the line and tell that he's wrong. And I waited for 17 years, and Bert said, I can't believe your patience. But it was really bugging me. That's why I brought Piper here, to try to find out who was lying, Tommy or Piper. And I know now that Piper is a liar. But Tommy had to level out here. And so far since then, he's been doing well. Everybody pray that he continues on. And everybody pray that Doug Pendleton will come to his senses, all right? Because you're not supposed to have glee when somebody falls away from the Lord. Doug has done a real good job for years, and there was an accusation that I believe was false, given by Dave.
Mary Jane.
Dave and Mary Jane. Chef, yeah. And that was so offensive to him that he just fell away. Dave and Mary Jane, watch yourself. Because I'm just pray that he will come back and tell me all about it. There's never been a report like that on him before, ever. He has no interest in Mary Jane. And I want everybody in the church to know that. Because these were false accusations, and he was so disgusted with it that he fell away. False accusers in this church. And they're not afraid to bring railing accusations against dignities that try to save their soul without any success. Okay, then what?
And ye masters, do the same things unto them.
That's because we know, you see, the servants and the masters, we all have one master, okay? So, as far as God is concerned, I'm as responsible as you are. Even the Lord has given me more responsibility than you, because he knows that even before I was saved, I was conscientious. And I didn't believe in being a user or a freeloader like some people do. And I earn my keep. The Lord thinks so. He knows so. Okay? And people that I've worked for, you people have heard people call me that have known me for years, even when I was in grade school. And they have nothing but the best to say about me. I've never cheated anybody, and I've always treated people like I would want to have been treated. And I still, to this day, do the same. Because, why? Because it's a commandment, amen?
Amen.
It's just a natural instinct with me to be polite and to do unto others as I would have them do unto me and my children. And I do take care of my children. My boys, most every day we are together for several hours. And my little girl, I spend a lot of time with her every day. I don't neglect my children. As busy as I am, their priority. God is number one. My wife and I are one. As the church and the people in the church are, Christ and the people in the church are to be one with him. It's a mystery, the Bible says. It's a mystery. But we're to love our wives as we love ourselves. And we can't love the Lord if we don't love ourselves. Why do you say that? Well, because love is the keeping of God's commandments. If you love your soul, you're going to keep his commandments. And you're going to minister. You're going to treat your wife as though she's you. I sure, you know, some people, they hear me rebuking my wife, and they say, well, that doesn't sound... That's because you're warped. When my wife is, if she does anything wrong, she hears about it from me. I don't let it slide like a lot of people in the church let the devil run rampant in the church. The Bible says we're to leave our father and our mother and cleave unto our wives, and because we become one flesh, okay, we're the same. That's number one priority, even over the children. The mother and the son or daughter are not closer than husband and wife, because they're not one. Eventually, the son or the daughter is going to leave me and my wife, and they're going to cleave to somebody else. They're not ours. Once they leave the house, once they've flown the coop, that's it. Once they marry a Christian girl, or my daughter marries a Christian boy, man, that's it. They've left their father and mother and have done what the Lord said to do. Amen?
Amen.
And some people think, well, no, they're still my daughter or they're still my son. You better read the Bible again, ma'am or sir, and see what God says about that. Okay, then what?
Forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him.
Right. Now, threatening to put somebody out of the church if they don't shape up is not what the kind of threatening that he's talking about here. All right? Or threatening a child that you're going to get Proverbs if you don't shape up. That isn't, those things are of the Lord. Because the Bible says that the unruly ones are to be put out. All right? Ones that can't be ruled by the word of God are proud and believe themselves to be above God. And that's the devil. There's no other way to weigh that out. That's devil. Anybody that thinks they're above God, Satan is the one that says, I would be like the Most High. I will ascend above God. Amen?
Amen.
That's above. This is a proud, disgusting, revolting, reprobate. Okay, then what?
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord.
Be strong in the Lord. Be sturdy. Okay? Let's line this up. You know, how are we going to be sturdy enough to keep all these commandments and all the other commandments that are in the Bible? Then go ahead.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Okay. Now read my translation of that I put down this morning. Finally,
a final word, be strong with the Lord's mighty power.
Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. You can't be strong in any other way. Some people say, I'm strong in the Lord. Not without His mighty power, you're not. And you're not going to derive His mighty power unless you're receiving it from His word in prayer. Right? Read that again.
A final word, be strong with the Lord's mighty power.
Yeah. How are you going to be strong unless it's with the Lord's mighty power? Huh? Anybody know?
Yeah.
Okay, then what?
Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies and tricks of the devil.
Right. How are you going to do that? To do what?
Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm.
No. Above that.
A final word, be strong with the Lord's mighty power.
Yeah. You do it by being strong in the Lord's mighty power, right?
Right.
Okay. Because you think you're mighty. There's a dog chow that's mighty, it's mighty, it's mighty, mighty, meaty. But not in the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
Not in the Lord's mighty power. We're talking about two different things. You're not mighty. You're meaty, fleshy, right? The Lord's mighty power, huh?
Amen.
How about that? Okay, then what?
Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies and tricks of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood.
No, we're not fighting people. You think I'm fighting the Pope?
No.
Or the government agents? No. They're wimps. They already been taken over by the devil. We have to pray for them people that the Lord will be that will open up their eyes so that they can get saved. Our warfare is not with people. Read it in the King James.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Isn't that people?
Yeah.
What is people other than flesh and blood? Is there any kind of people that are not flesh and blood?
No.
Huh? Even me. You can come and touch me. I'm flesh and blood. Some of you people try to make me the Pope, you know, that I'm the only one supposed to read and pray. Uh-uh. No. You'd be wrong there. Yeah, you'd be wrong. Okay, then what?
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
With people. People. Now read what I say. What?
For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood.
No. So, you know, everyone in the world we're supposed to pray for. Amen?
Amen?
So don't think that this person, you know, you're not supposed to hold grudges either. You're supposed to be forgiving. Amen?
Amen.
But if somebody just keeps persisting in being a demonic person, then we have to do what the Lord says because the Lord is the boss. Amen?
Amen.
Now we have to be patient, but there's a limit to patience. When the Lord says, that's it, then that's it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world.
Of the unseen world. The spiritual realm. The demonic spiritual realm. Okay? Now read it in the King James.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world.
Yeah, the rulers of the darkness is the devil and his wicked angels. Amen?
Amen.
What man is there that is a leader of the devil? The devil is the leader of flesh and blood. So if we pray for God to smite the powers of darkness in the people, the flesh and blood that Satan is using, then the Lord can release those people from doing such things and cause them to get saved, and then they'll be like he did the Apostle Paul. I'm sure many Christians back then were praying for Paul to be saved because he was like killing Christians. Amen?
Amen.
So it pays to pray, amen?
Amen.
Because when you're praying for them, the very ones that you're praying for might get saved. And if they don't get saved, they could be the very ones that could kill you and torture you to death. Doesn't it make sense to pray?
Yes.
Hmm?
Yes.
Yes. That's why if you don't do that, well, then you're not obeying the Lord either. Well, I just hate this governor, or I hate, you know, Bill Clinton or somebody. Just pray that the powers of darkness will be broken in his life, and that he'll be able to see Christ, and that he'll get saved, and that God will give him his mighty power to be an outstanding witness and testimony for Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And then Jesus says, whatsoever you ask, I'll do it. If your word abides in me and you, and my word abides in you and you abide in me, then whatsoever you ask. Then what does he say?
It will be done.
Yeah, it will be done. That's a wonderful promise. Okay? So that's why we have to forgive 70 times 7, because it isn't flesh and blood that's doing the things to you that you think they are. And if I'm reproving and rebuking you under the mighty power of God that he's vested in me as a minister of the gospel and a pastor and a prophet, then if you get uptight at me, you're not uptight at me, you're uptight at God. And really, if somebody's uptight with me and I don't care, you know that I don't care, do you? Right?
Right.
Because I know that I'm not fighting you, I'm fighting the devil that's controlling you. Because I'm not fighting people. I'm trying to save them. And I'm not throwing people, souls. I'm trying to save them. And when I see people deliberately throwing souls and then trying to make up excuses, that's not going to fly either. Okay? Okay, then go ahead.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
See, it's spiritual wickedness in the heavens, the heavenly places, up in, you know, the prince of the air. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now read what I said to that point, and then we'll go into King James again.
For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in the heavenly realm.
Right. Makes sense?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day.
Okay, read what I said.
Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will still be standing firm.
Yeah, after the dust settles, you'll still be standing, okay? Under the sturdy power of God. Huh?
Amen.
They just say, man, here comes this atomic blast and everything like that,
and the dust settles and all the radiation, and you're still standing. That's the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And that you're also standing in the, before the Lord in the kingdom of heaven. He says, come on in. You did good. My good and faithful servant. Don't worry about what flesh and blood can do unto you. Just pray to the Lord. If somebody you think is so evil, then pray to the Lord that God will destroy the evil that is causing this person that you think is evil. Or maybe they are evil, that God will break that power. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're just fighting the devil. That's no big deal. Is he's a defeated foe, isn't he?
Yes.
If we do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
He's defeated. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breast...
Okay, having a belt of truth on. I don't like the word girdle, though, because it's nowadays we don't wear girdles, we wear belts, right? Putting on, read what I said.
Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace.
Yeah, the gospel. Learn and study the gospel of peace and use those shoes to walk about distributing the literature and preaching this word. Be armed with it in your spirit so that when somebody is you're witnessing to somebody or they're asking you, then the Spirit of God is in you with the words that are in you, and let the Lord do the witnessing, okay, instead of you thinking of, ah, I wonder if I'm saying the wrong thing. You're not supposed to say anything. You're supposed to let the Lord say it in you, okay? And if you're loaded with the Word of God, you'll be saying the right thing. Amen?
Amen.
Because it won't be you, it'll be the Lord. He never says the wrong thing. All right? Okay, now go ahead with the King James.
And having on the breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yeah, you have to prepare. You have to study so that you be a workman approved by God, rightly dividing the word, so that you're prepared when you go out witnessing, testifying, or somebody asks you questions in the church, or if you're in a hospital, or if you're in an old folks home, or in a retarded person's, you never know when somebody's going to... that's why I like to prepare. And then you never know what's going to come your way that day, but I'm always ready. All right? That is, you know, if I'm reading, if the devil's hindering me from reading, well, I feel very shaky. I have to read. All right? Okay, then what?
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked.
Right, because Satan is going to have you ignore your children and not put in a full day's work and make you think that that isn't necessary, that that's a small commandment. No, that's the second commandment. The most important one is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you, okay? Right?
Yes.
So that's not small, giving everybody a fair shake. Huh? Yeah. Give everybody a fair shake for God's sake, so that you can be a testimony unto the Lord. In other words, don't be a user and don't be a stinking liar, because you're a liar. You're not putting in a full day's work if you're not doing it unto the Lord and unto people. You can't mess over people and then win their soul. The only way you're going to win their soul is being letting the Lord's word live in you. Then what?
And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of...
Yeah, know that you're keeping the commandments. Put that helmet on you. Know that you're fellowshipping with your children, that you're ministering to them, that you're reading, that you're praying, that you're putting in a full day's work for the Lord and for whoever asks you to do something. Don't try to say, why don't you ask somebody else? You're always asking me. Whoever asks you, just do it. I don't care if the Lord doesn't care who it is. Don't be like the other people in the world, okay? Because they're disgusting to the Lord. And how are we going to win any of them if we're not
doing as the Lord says, because some people need that. And I'm sure that that police officer that was, I mean, I'll just give you one example, that I stood in line to talk on the phone and for about a 40, half hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, and then he knew. He's just testing me out to see if I was of the Lord or not. He says, "Hoffman?" I said, "Yes." Because that's my real name, Bernie Lazar Hoffman, not Tony Alamo. And he says, "Could you get some ice for the people here in the hole?" I said, "Yes, sir." And he was shocked. His countenance completely fell because he knew I was of the Lord. I did what the Lord said to do. And it shocked him. And when I got done bringing the ice, he interrupted everybody in line and put me right back in there. And he was humbled. That man never messed with me again. Well, one day while I was in prison for the gospel's sake. And that worked as a testimony to him. He'll never forget that for the rest of his life, because I saw his countenance just fall. And he really got, he says, "Hey, nope, don't you anybody interrupt. And he's next. Hoffman's next. I'll let him in line here." He'd already spent a long time in line. He knew it. He was admitting it right to me. And it just put cold shivers down me, because the other guys, when they'd say, if he did such a thing as that, they'd start screaming at him and say, "Look, man, I've stood in line here 45 minutes to an hour. You're like the people of the world if you do that, okay? Do what the Lord says, all right?" Then what?
"And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God."
Right. All these other pieces of armor are defensive. There are defense. And also the Word of God is too, the sword. But it's also something that we can chop back. Amen. We defend the gospel. Not ourselves, the gospel. Amen?
Amen?
People defend themselves way more than they defend the Lord, the Word. But they don't know the Word enough to come back at people. Study the Word. Put on the armor. Amen? Then what?
"Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance."
Oh, it says all. Give your all. Watching. Notice if you see something demonic in the church. Report it. Be like the baby Christians. You know, testimony. The last will be first, and the first will be last. Don't think that because you're, well, you have a sluggish type of attitude towards things like that, they just think you are nothing. There's no mighty power of God in you that you're standing in. If you just, well, we just let the devil, oh, I just don't want to report. I'm afraid that they're going to bring accusations. I'm just so afraid. I just can't stand their contention. They're going to get contentious. And I know. You're a wimp. You're not of the Lord. You've got to stop that way of reasoning. A lot of people that fell away had that reasoning. And it's revolting and disgusting to the Lord. You're supposed to watch for satanic things and report it. In other words, it's you're letting the devil come in over the walls into the church. And you're responsible for it. You're guilty if you do it any longer. Okay, then what?
"And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints."
Yeah, pray for the saints. And pray for our enemies that they get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Don't pray that they prosper in the world or anybody else. Pray that you prosper, they prosper spiritually, okay? Amen. Because that's permanent if they continue on. Then what?
"And for me, that utterance may be given unto me."
Yeah, why don't you pray for me too, that more utterance, because I get so much resistance from falling away people in the church. I don't get that much resistance outside the church. But it's the weaklings the people that don't pay any attention to what the Lord says that I get the resistance from. Pray, you know, that the Lord will anoint me and fill my mouth with words, that I can bring some more enlightening messages to the church. All right? And pray for yourselves also that you'll be standing firm in the might of God. Amen?
Amen.
The mighty power of the Lord. Then what?
And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak.
So he's an ambassador in bonds. He's in prison. Oh, he must have been a bad guy. He's in prison. No, the elite of the Lord were in prison. Jesus was in prison. Paul was in prison. Peter was in prison. I was in prison. I'm glad to be one of the jailbirds. God's jailbirds. Okay? I was in bonds. And I didn't stop serving the Lord. I got more gospel out there than I have before I went into prison. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
That therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, love is the keeping of the Lord's commandments, so make sure you keep. I just mentioned a few of them today. Then what?
Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen.
You want the Lord to bless this church and to bless your lives? Well, then do what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless all of you. This is Tony Alamo. Until next time.